I'm going to ask you, if you will, to, if you don't have your own Bible with you, to take out a pew Bible, because the scripture this morning is a little longer than we usually read, but that's all right. But it's so important for you to hear what God said rather than what I say about it. And so I would ask you to take out the pew Bible. I'm going to be reading in that translation, and follow along carefully, because your mind tends to wander when you just hear somebody read, but when you're focused on the words themselves, it means so much more to you. So if you will, turn to John chapter 18, beginning in verse 28. This is a record of the trial of Jesus before Pontius Pilate. The Word of God reads this way. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled. What an ironic statement. They were already defiled, and they would become more defiled. But that they might eat the Passover, go through the semblance of worship. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusations do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die." Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" Then they all cried again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. We learn from the other Gospels he was also a killer. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man!" Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went out again to the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation of a day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Then many of the Jews read this, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore, the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." And may God himself enable us to comprehend what this all means, not only back then, but right now in this place. And so as you pray for me that I will speak clearly the word of God, I'll be praying for you that you hear it. And so let's pray for each other for a few moments. Oh, Father, we have just read the story of the rejection of your Son by the best of religions and by the best of government. And we realize that we also have guilt in the matter, for we have treated him so lightly. We have passed him by. We have made the things of this world our God. And we therefore have loaned ourselves over to the death of the Lord Jesus. And we share with Pilate some of the guilt and ask for grace to forgive us and for understanding of why this is true and how we have a part in this. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You realize the only person mentioned in the Apostles' Creed, not Peter, James, and John, not Paul the Apostle, not anyone else who was on Jesus' side, but the only name other than the Lord Jesus himself is a man named Pontius Pilate. How would you like for millions of people every week to mention you as the one who gave Jesus to be crucified? That's his legacy. But there's more to it than just that momentary decision under pressure. He was the Roman governor of Judea at the time of the death of and the trial and death of Jesus. He had little regard. As a matter of fact, he hated the Jews. And he was constantly battling with them. Sometimes he released his cavalry on the Jews as they paraded and protested certain rulings of Pilate. And by the dozens and by the hundreds, they were killed. But now they come to him as if he were their friend. And they ask him for a special favor. He was not always in good standing with Rome. And he ever feared that he might be disgraced and recalled or even executed. And eventually, that's exactly what happened to him. As a matter of fact, 2 years after he passed judgment on Jesus Christ, the Roman emperor decided Pilate is no friend of mine. And he sent for him to come to Rome. And on his way there, the Roman Emperor Tiberius died of mysterious ailments. And some historians say that Pilate was forced to commit suicide. But the better record is that he went back to Rome. He was stripped of all of his power. He was sent in disgrace into the mountains of Switzerland. And there he died mysteriously less than 10 years later. And when you put all that together, you realize that this man has earned his place to be reviled by every Christian who is familiar with the creed and who recites the creed. You did it this morning. You said he was crucified. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. And that wasn't just the cross. Pilate went out of his way to make Jesus suffer more and more and more than he should have. At the time of the arrest and trial of Jesus, this man, Pontius Pilate, had been in power about 7 or 8 years. And as I mentioned, he would not remain in power much longer, but at the end of 2 years, he would be recalled. But here was a man that represented the unlimited power of the Roman Empire over all of its conquered peoples. He was therefore the only man in Jerusalem or Judea who had the authority to decide the fate of Jesus of Nazareth. And since he was the supreme authority, he and he alone had it within his power to do the right thing. And how often are we in the same shoes as Pontius Pilate? We know the right thing to do. We know that we are to seek the Lord with all of our hearts. We know that we're not to be in captivity to the world and the things of this world, but we willingly surrender to the control of the world. Pilate knew the right thing, and yet he failed miserably because he himself, while Simon Peter, his best friend, was saying, I don't know who Jesus is. I'm not his disciple. He denied the Lord 3 times. Isn't it ironic that Pilate, the man who would sign his death sentence, was saying 3 times, there is no fault in this man. I found him not guilty of any charges. And he affirmed that. And to get out from under the onus of that, he sent him off to King Herod, who ruled the northern part of Palestine. And Herod sent him back with, there's no reason for the death of this man. And yet here is Pontius Pilate, eventually, even though he saw through the trumped up charges, he was pressured and he found himself in a position where he had to make a decision. He had to make a choice, and he made the wrong one. But after saying 3 times, I find no fault in this man, and giving the Jews opportunity to withdraw their charges, because they had brought formal charges before the court of Rome over which Pontius Pilate presided. In addition to his own sense of the innocence of Jesus, his wife, obviously a very superstitious, but maybe his wife had heard a lot of things about Jesus and about how he healed the sick and raised the dead, and he was a good man. And so she sent word in the middle of the trial, don't do anything to this righteous man. Pontius Pilate knew he was a righteous man. He wasn't living in a vacuum. He had heard the wild rumors that this man even raised the dead. Pilate was given a choice a little bit later in the trial and given an opportunity. And Jesus had said to him, everyone who hears knows the truth will come to me. And here is the man who's going to cravenly give in to the pressure and sentenced Jesus to death. But Jesus, even at the last moment, was reaching out even to Pontius Pilate and giving him an opportunity. And then the Jews tried the one thing that would terrify him, because They knew he was not in good standing with Tiberius. They knew that Tiberius had threatened him more than once, especially after his cavalry had charged into the mob of Jews a few years before this and killed them by the hundreds. They knew of his fears. And so they said to him, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar's." That was an official charge. That was saying that Pilate, if he made the right decision, was going to be sent to Rome in disgrace and his life would be in danger. So being no friend of Caesar's meant that Pilate was going to be charged with being an enemy of the state. And Pilate simply could not take that. He was already uneasy about where he stood with Tiberius. And so then in order to futilely try to get out from under the judgment of God, he sat down and called for a basin of water. And he washed his hands in public and said, "I find no fault in him. You see to it." And Pilate thought by doing something like that, he could escape being the man who sentenced this innocent man to death. And Pilate did not know, and yet he was challenged by Jesus when Jesus said to him, "My kingdom is not of this world." But he was proclaiming to Pilate, "You have no danger from me. I'm offering you life." But Pilate turned it down and chose death. It's ironic and interesting that two of the most reliable Roman historians, and not many of them were reliable, but the historians also recorded in their writing that Pilate is the one that sentenced Jesus Christ to death. So when we say he suffered under Pontius Pilate, that was the greatest travesty of justice that has ever taken place. And it's certainly when you look back across the record of Jesus, did Pilate take the time to go through the record and did he call testimony from the common people? No, he didn't do that at all. But if he had, he would have found out that Jesus posed no immediate threat to Pilate himself. He rather would offer to Pilate truth and life, but Pilate turned him down. And the Lord Jesus Christ's record of suffering did not begin in the Garden of Gethsemane. It began in the councils of eternity when he agreed with the Father that he would come into this world and take your sin and my sin, and the wrath of God would fall on him. And he would cry out just before he died, "Oh, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That was for you. Your name belonged there. My name belonged there. But Jesus came with a purpose in his heart to save you from death and hell. And so he gave himself. His whole life was a life of suffering and privation. He said to some of his would-be disciples early in his ministry, when they said, "We want to come with you," he said, "The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The birds of the air have their nest and the foxes of the field have their den, but I don't have any place to go. So if you come after me, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. In the very end, he was deserted by his best friends and companions. At one point in his ministry, when he was so active and busy and saving people and bringing comfort to the sorrowing, his own family came to him thinking he had lost his mind. Even Mary, who knew where he came from and knew that she bore him without the benefit of a husband, without the benefit of the usual process, she bore him who was the Son of God. But when she saw him in danger, like any mother, she tried her best, and she thought, "If I can just get him to come home, I'll take care of him." So even when she made that offer, and his brothers and sisters made that offer. And don't you know, it broke Jesus' heart to realize, my mother doesn't even understand me. My brothers and sisters have rejected me. Think about that. And of course, there are people all over the world who have to go through the same thing. If they profess Christ, their lives are in danger and their family reject them. I had a young fellow that I taught in seminary from the Jewish faith, and he was Jewish. And when he came to know Christ, his family disowned him. His own father died, and he knew nothing about it until weeks later. They had erased his name from the family records, and he was given up as if he were dead. And so the Lord Jesus Christ suffered that. And after his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had to watch as his disciples one by one forsook him and fled. But here he's brought before Pontius Pilate, the Roman government, who has the power and who had the facts before him. He hated the Jews. He knew what hypocrites the high priest and the others were in the charge of the Sanhedrin. And yet he gave in. Pilate was in a position. He knew what he should do. He was a Roman official, and the laws of Rome were very clear about the death penalty, and certainly about crucifixion. It was only reserved for those who posed a danger to the overthrow of the emperor. Well, in a way, Jesus did, but not by sword, not by violence. And the conduct of Pilate and of the Jewish leaders to this point emphasizes the terrible truth that mankind by nature is not basically good. We are a fallen people, and given the choices that we will make, we will always decide for ourselves. We have decided that the world, the flesh, and the devil have a greater claim on our lives than the Son of God who died on the cross. All human beings await the time, and that means all of us, when we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Christ will be the judge. And you say, but he has forgiven my sin. Praise God that he has forgiven your sin, but you must live it out. You must prove by your works your faith in Christ. And don't be like Pontius Pilate, who said, well, I can just wash my hands of this. And as long as I'm kind to my neighbors and I take care of my family, that's all that God expects of me. No, it's not. God expects you to take up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin bites so deeply into human nature that when the Creator, who made all things, came into the world, they rejected him, and they still do. And certainly the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one standing between you and wrath, the only one standing between you and hell itself. And he would have stood between Pontius Pilate and hell had Pilate responded to his offer, but he would not, and so he could not. Pilate's worst fears were realized in less than 2 years. Caesar decided that Pilate was not his friend, and so he deposed of him. And according to history, he had not long to live. But when God said, basically to Pilate, you're not my friend, then Pilate was condemned to eternal hell. And everybody who stands where Pilate stood and rejects the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, ruling over your life, providing the sacrifice that alone will save you. And I say this with alarm and tenderness. Those people are inevitably bound to be with Pilate in everlasting hell. But you don't have to go there. Crown him as your Savior and the Lord of your life, and you'll find that he is a gracious Lord and has the power to deliver you from the bondage of self.